special picture with the two, which I thought was quite sweet.
This is the first time that the two of us have ever spoken about her as a mother.
Believe it or not, you and I are both in this photograph.
Right.
Okay. You're in the tummy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Arguably, probably a little bit too raw up until this point. It's still raw.
That was Prince Harry.
There's not many days that go by that I don't think of her. Her 20th anniversary year feels like a good time to remember, you know, all the good things about her and hopefully provide maybe a different side to her that others haven't seen before.
To celebrate the life and legacy of Diana, Princess of Wales, her sons are sharing their most intimate memories of her for the first time.
We felt, you know, incredibly loved, Harry and I, and I'm very grateful that that love still feels there.
News footage of Diana hugging the boys.
It was that love that even if she was on the other side of a room, that you, as a son, you could feel it.
Disappointing you had a brother instead of a sister.
No, never.
Harry and William look at family snapshots.
Through their mother's personal photographs and childhood home movies, the people who knew and loved her reveal a Diana we've never seen before.
Her brother, Earl Spencer.
She was always very caring of little people, and I suppose I was the first little person that she cared for.
A home movie of young Diana dancing in the garden.
Our mother was a total kid through and through.
She really enjoyed the laughter and the fun.
On a log flume with Harry.
She was one of the naughtiest parents.
She had a very cheeky sense of humour. She loved the rudest cards you could imagine. She was very jolly and really enjoyed, at times, making a lot of mischief. But she always understood that there was a real life outside of palace walls.
Look at her face in every photograph. There's a positive, wonderful glow.
I think she wanted to make a difference.
Meeting a young cancer patient.
Diana's death at the age of only 36 shocked the world. And it shaped the lives of her two sons.
I give thanks that I was lucky enough to be her son and that I got to know her for the 15 years that I did. She set us up really well. She gave us the right tools and has prepared us well for life in the best way she could, not obviously knowing what was going to happen.
She was our mum. She still is our mum. You know, and of course, as a son, I would say this, she's, you know, the best mum in the world.
Auburn-haired Prince Harry swallows, looking moved. Princess Diana's name appears in her own handwriting. Diana, our mother, her life and legacy. Fountains in the gardens of Kensington Palace. In one of the rooms, Harry and William have thick photo albums.
When we found these photo albums recently, part of me never really wanted to look at them, and part of me was waiting to find the right time that we could sit down and look at them together.
No, she loved taking pictures. It's so nice. And she captures some really good sort of portraits of people.
Yeah.
You kind of get a snapshot of their personality quite quickly. And the funny thing is that there's not that many of her, because she's always taking the photographs.
Yeah. And it's photos of us when we were tiny.
Yeah, absolutely, from start, from day one. I think some of the pictures here are day one of you and day one of me. Just growing up, and it's really nice looking back at it and reminding ourselves. And actually, when I started looking through it, it brought back so many memories.
I brought this one up because we were dressing up, thinking that we're looking really cool.
Yeah, that's brilliant. We had great fun mucking around, didn't we?
Yeah.
Blimey, it's the first day at school.
Probably one of my first days.
School first days, then, probably.
Me turning up thinking, I've got my older brother at the school, he'll be looking after me, when in fact he just ignored me.
And then this photo here, I thought what you would like to see. Quite a special picture with the two of you, which I thought was quite sweet.
Well, where was this? Do you
remember? This was out on holiday.
I just remember having the skinniest legs, and still do.
You're quite skinny there. You've got some good bushy blonde eyebrows going on there as well, and your freckled nose. Your freckles are gone quite a lot now. You used to have such freckles.
They come back every now and then.
They're quite funny, really. But it's a sweet picture of her.
Happy memories, big smiley faces. She smothered us with love, that's for sure.
Yeah.
A selection of photos. Diana and the boys by the sea. Toddler Harry leading a little black horse with Diana beside it and William in the saddle. Diana with William doing an infant's wooden puzzle. Diana holding Harry, aged about one. Diana watching William and Harry sitting at a piano.
to myself and William, she was just the best mother ever. She would just engulf you and squeeze you as tight as possible. And being as short as I was then, there was no escape. You were there, and you were there for as long as she wanted to hold you. Even talking about it now, I can feel the hugs that she used to give us. And, you know, I miss that. I miss that feeling. I miss that part of a family. I miss having that mother to be able to give you those hugs and give you that compassion that I think everybody needs.
She was extremely good at showing her love. She was extremely good at showing, you know, what we meant to her and, you know, what feelings meant and how important it was to feel.
Behind closed doors, she was a very loving, caring mother and an incredibly funny person.
Diana holding Harry, who's poking out his tongue.
One thing I would love to ask her now, because I genuinely think that she got satisfaction out of dressing myself and William up in the most bizarre outfits, normally matching. It was weird shorts and, you know, like little sort of shiny shoes with the old clip on. And looking back at the photos, it just makes me laugh. I just think, how could you do that to us? And then, funny enough, we got to the age when William would turn around and go, oh, this is ridiculous, you know, I'm the older brother, why do I have to be dressed the same as him? And I'm sort of sitting there going, hang on a second, if you're going to dress differently, I'm not going to be the only one person dressed like this. This is just ridiculous. So I like to think that she had great fun in dressing us up. I'm sure that wasn't it, but I sure as hell am going to dress my kids up the same way.
There's not many days that go by that I don't think of her, you know, sometimes sad, sometimes very positively. You know, I have a smile every now and again when someone says something, and I think that's exactly what she would have said, or she would have enjoyed that comment. So they always live with you, people, you know, you lose like that, and my mother lives with me every day.
29th April 2011.
The House of Kings, Westminster Abbey. For 1,000 years, the cradle of royal power. And today, the setting for a royal wedding.
How proud their mother would have been today. I think this really is a special moment.
I guess there must be the bittersweet days. I'm just thinking of your, you know, your wedding, and you desperately wanting her to be there and to share in it. Did you feel somehow that she was there with you?
I did, and I sort of beforehand, you know, had a lot of time to think about it.
William in his scarlet tunic and Kate in her bridal gown.
I pronounce that they be man and wife together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
When it came to the wedding, I did really feel that she was there. And, you know, there's times when you look to someone or something for strength, and I very much felt she was there for me.
William and Kate walk up the aisle, hand in hand. 29th of July, 1981. Diana, in her wedding dress, rides in a coach along a road lined with crowds.
For the first time through the centre gateway of Admiralty Arch, rides Lady Diana.
Two footmen in red uniforms with gold trim stand on the back of the coach.
And when we see her, perhaps like all royal brides, the veil will be thrown back and we'll see that lovely face.
It was on the day of her wedding that Diana first captured the world's imagination.
The crowds in the street wave flags enthusiastically. Diana gets out of the coach by the red-carpeted steps of St. Paul's.
Pageantry and romance were an unbeatable combination. The press called it the wedding of the century.
She walks up the aisle.
I, Diana Francis. Take thee, Charles Philip Arthur George. To my wedded husband.
People in the crowd hold periscopes.
Diana's marriage was a joyous event which everyone could relate to. But it was also an utterly unique experience. Diana was joining the most famous family in the world.
At the end of the day, she was a normal 20-year-old, Lady Spencer. Marrying into the institution, to marrying into the Royal British Royal Family. And she brought a breath of fresh air to everything that she did.
Earl Spencer watches a home movie of Diana as a toddler in the garden.
Diana Spencer grew up in one of the grandest aristocratic families in England.
Young Diana on a swing.
Her father was a keen amateur cameraman. The home movies he made give us a precious glimpse into Diana's early life.
Earl Spencer watches himself and Diana petting a couple of spaniels.
She was always very caring of little people, and I suppose I was the first little person that she cared for.
He and Diana hold rabbits.
My mother left home when I was 2 or 3, and so Diana was the most significant, I suppose, warm female presence in my life. And, you know, we spent so much time together.
The old film shows Diana's mother lying on her back and balancing Diana, then young Earl Spencer, on her feet. Earl Spencer watches his parents.
I think our parents' divorce was quite tricky for all of us. It was very sort of bitter and quite had an impact, big impact. They never spoke and, you know, I do feel that the girl I grew up with had a sort of bundle of insecurities and unhappinesses.
A charcoal portrait of young Diana.
Because of her own sensitivities and vulnerabilities, she felt able to connect with people who were going through a very tough time and sort of give them hope. As she grew up, there was a massive change in Diana. She suddenly felt more confident.
She dives into a pool.
The definite blossoming. She sort of realised that she was really funny. I mean, her sense of humour was fantastic. And male friends suddenly started to realise that this little girl was growing into a very interesting and very pretty young thing.
Diana had a small and intimate circle of friends. In this film, they're speaking about her for the first time.
The first time I met her, I was playing golf at Balmoral. My dad was great friends with the Queen, and just as I was about to play my shot, this vision of beauty appeared over the horizon, full of laughter and energy. And that was the first time that I met Diana. And like everyone who meets her, she certainly had a big impact. I'm sure my shot was violently hooked or sliced, but we became great friends from that moment.
Lady Caroline Warren was a family friend of Diana's.
I was about 15, 16, and she would have been just a little bit older than me. She was great fun, had an amazing sense of humour, and could light up the room. Very, very caring. She was always the person who, if somebody was feeling down or there'd been a bust-up with a boyfriend or whatever it was, she was first man in to sort of give a helping hand.
These are photographs that I remember of Diana when she was working for my sister as a nanny.
William Van Straubenzee met Diana when she was 14.
She was shy, and she was pretty unsure of herself, and pretty naive and quite gullible, really.
She was quite easy to tease, etc., but she took it in incredibly good spirits. But you had no inkling of what sort of person she was going to be. You know, wandering around in jerseys covered in hippos and jeans and slobbing around, and she pinched my shirts quite often because she thought that was quite a good thing to do. Whenever you saw her alone, she'd have picked up some trashy romantic novel. You know, she was a bit of a dreamer. There was a side to her which we wished that somebody would sweep her off her feet.
Charles and Diana come onto the balcony.
This was the moment they had come from all corners of the kingdom to see. A new princess for Wales.
Crowds throng around the Victoria Memorial outside Buckingham Palace.
I remember on the wedding day going back to my mother's flat after the wedding and thinking, well, that's done, so we'll all move on now, not realising that she'd just become a sort of global superstar.
Charles and Diana kiss.
She was so young and fresh and vibrant and good-looking and unstuffy, and this was all quite new for somebody in that position.
17th October 1981, a black Rolls is escorted.
Only 3 months after her wedding, Diana's life as a working royal began, with a tour of Wales. There was no training for her new role. She was thrown in at the deep end. Accompanying her was the lady-in-waiting who'd be by her side for the next 10 years.
That, I think, for both of us, was a baptism of fire. It was an extraordinary experience. It was that noise, it was the cheering, it was the children screaming, you know. It must have been very daunting.
What happened, I think, was that everyone out there who didn't know Diana, they're all having the ninth green at Balmoral moment that I had. They realised this was such a natural person. She wasn't trying to be anything other than herself.
Diana meets the crowds.
Her ability to go up to people and put her hand out and just touch them was, remembering it now, it was very moving.
An old man cries.
That immediate warmth was always there for whoever she met. Didn't matter where you came from, what you did, you know, she could talk to you. And I think she generally just had a real ability to connect very quickly.
Swans and ducks on a calm lake.
Home for Prince William and Prince Harry is Kensington Palace, where they grew up. It's always been a haven, a place where their mother tried to carve out an ordinary family life for them.
Prince Harry.
My mother cherished those moments of privacy and being able to be that mother rather than the Princess of Wales. She made the decision that no matter what, despite all of the difficulties of growing up in that limelight and on that stage, she was going to ensure that both of us had as normal life as possible. And if that means, you know, taking us for a burger every now and then, or sneaking us into the cinema, or driving through the country lanes with the roof down of her old school BMW, listening to Enya, I think it was. God, blast from the past.
A BMW drives through the country.
All of that was part of her being a mum.
Prince William.
She was very informal and really enjoyed the laughter and the fun. But she understood that there was a real life outside of palace walls, and she wanted us to see it from a very young age, and really understood some of the real problems in life that, you know, you can pass you by very easily, particularly in this situation if you don't go looking for it.
St. Vincent's Centre.
Can I grab a seat here? Is that right?
No.
How are you doing? Which one?
David.
A homeless shelter isn't where you'd imagine a member of the royal family might hang out. But The Passage, London's biggest homeless centre, is a place where Prince William feels very much at home.
How's George?
Thank you.
Very well. Yeah, he's growing fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And his tummy and his shoulders have got so big that we've had to quickly re-tailor his outfit. He's growing at a rate of knots. He's going to be quite a big boy, I think, like his father.
Prince William has been visiting The Passage since he was a boy. His mother first brought him here when he was only 12.
I was quite nervous about it at the time, but I just enjoyed meeting these people who had incredible stories and who clearly had had a very, very tough time. My interest in homelessness has come from that one encounter. Yeah. It's fantastic, Ryan. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. That's awesome. Do you find the drawing and the art sort of help?
Yeah, it helps me with depression, William. I suffer depression, you know, right. Because I lost my wife last year, you know.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I lost my wife as well.
The times that I've seen him, I could just picture going to the local pub and just having a pint with him. And he's not afraid to get his hands dirty, which I think that's just like his mother. She was a soldier for the royal family.
Diana, in a group, meets people on a bench.
Homelessness was one of the first social issues which the Princess of Wales embraced. She ventured into some of London's roughest neighbourhoods to discover what life was really like out on the streets.
She woke me up. I love her.
She said, oh, I see you dress specially for me, sort of thing. And I just cracked a joke saying we'll be Savile Row suits in the cleaners at the moment.
Victor Adebwale was the chief executive of Centrepoint, Britain's biggest homeless charity. He worked side by side with Diana to raise awareness of the plight of the homeless.
She took it to heart that it was wrong that this was happening in what was a very wealthy society. And she talked to me about it. You know, she felt that it was wrong, that it was, you know, deeply immoral.
The princess went into battle. She made a hard-hitting speech about homelessness, which landed her in political hot water.
I'm appalled at the dangers young people face on the streets and how vulnerable they are to exploitation.
Coming against a backdrop of budget cuts, her speech was seen as an attack on the government.
The princess really is a rather headstrong and willful young lady, charming and delightful as she is in other ways. And
the speech that she gave about youth homelessness made its way onto the floor of the Houses of Parliament, and, you know, we were accused of politicising the royal family as a result. So I thought she was brave in a quiet but resolute way. I do. I mean, she could have dropped us at any time. You know, too hot to handle. This is an issue that's quite difficult. That's how the world changes. People stand up for what they believe in.
I think it was hard for her. I think it was a real strain of the public role quite often. Having to do the stuff that she was doing, involved with the charities that she was involved with. You know, you need respite. You need somewhere to go and dump it.
Diana, the boys and her security guard ride on a log flume at Thorpe Park.
There was always a sense of enthusiasm and energy around her, and a lot of warmth as well. There was always that sort of bubbling personality going on the whole time.
I think she lived a lot of her life, especially in private, through us. And I think that sort of childish, fun element really came out when she was spending time with us.
On a little dinghy, Diana rides down a bumpy water slide with Harry sitting in front.
Our mother was a total kid through and through. When everybody says to me, you know, so she was fun, give us an example, all I can hear is her laugh in my head. And that sort of crazy laugh of where there was just pure happiness shown on her face.
Diana smiles proudly at her boys in school uniforms.
One of her mottos to me was, you can be as naughty as you want, just don't get caught. She was one of the naughtiest parents. She would come and watch us play football and, you know, smuggle sweets into our socks. And I mean, it's like literally walking back from a football match and having sort of five packets of Starburst. And just the whole shirt was just bulging with sweets. And then I was sort of looking around, open the top box, throw it all in, lock it up.
She was a massive card writer. She loved the rudest cards you could imagine. And I would be at school and I'd get a card from her mother. Usually she found something, you know, very embarrassing, you know, very funny card and then sort of written very nice stuff inside. But I dare not open it in case the teachers or anyone else in the class had seen it.
Supermodels at a fashion show.
There's a couple of memories I have that are particularly funny. Just outside this room where we are now, she organised when I came home from school to have Cindy Crawford, Christy Turlington and Naomi Campbell waiting at the top of the stairs. I was probably 12 or 13-year-old boy who had posters of them on his wall. And I went bright red and didn't quite know what to say and sort of fumbled, and I think I pretty much fell down the stairs on the way up. I was completely and utterly sort of awestruck. That was a very funny memory that's lived with me forever about her loving and embarrassing and sort of, you know, being the sort of the joker.
A sense of humour was a vital release for Diana as she began to embrace some of the most controversial issues of the day.
A TV ad.
There is now a danger that has become a threat to us all.
Carved on a stone, AIDS.
By the 1980s, the world was in the grip of a terrible epidemic. The gay community had been devastated by AIDS. But tabloid newspapers ignored their suffering and instead accused them of spreading the disease. Their headlines stirred up a storm of prejudice. As a young gay man, Ian Walker endured years of discrimination.
People were terrified of catching HIV.
And a lot of people would talk about the day that they were diagnosed was the day that people stopped touching them, that from then on it was, you know, rubber gloves and masks and gowns. And you heard stories of people going to the dentist and people were, like, dressed up in a spacesuit to deal with them.
At a time when the fear of physical contact with AIDS sufferers was at its height, the Princess visited the Middlesex Hospital. It housed the only AIDS unit in the UK.
She just walked into that room and there was a gentleman and did what she would normally do to anybody else she was meeting. She just shook him by the hand. And that picture went viral, round the world.
That was very powerful, that she made that contact. She just smashed all that fear down by that one handshake.
The London Lighthouse was at the heart of the AIDS epidemic in Britain. It provided care for the sick and the dying.
I was an occupational therapist at the London Lighthouse, and the deaths were just relentless. You'd go home at night, and you weren't sure who was going to be there the next day.
The Princess became the London Lighthouse's greatest champion, publicly supporting the charity, but also regularly visiting patients, often in her own time.
When she came in, it was like she was shining. That smile, it just beamed. When she smiled, she beamed. I sound like a sycophant, but you know that's how it was. And I'm not a royal person, really. I'm a Republican, but she was an exception.
Elton John meets with Prince Harry, Ian Walker, and Gerard McGrath.
How are you? Good to see you.
Ian.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Sir Elton John was a friend of Diana's, and like her, a committed AIDS activist.
Would she come here unannounced?
Yeah.
Prince Harry is joining him at the London Lighthouse to hear more about his mother's work.
It was considered to be a gay disease, and for someone who was within the royal family and who was a woman and who was straight, and to have someone care from the other side was an incredible gift.
And you can see it in the
exactly. I was about to say, you look back to these days when actually the reality was doom and gloom.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at all
the reality then was doom and gloom. Yet everybody in that photograph is smiling
because of her.
Yeah.
I mean, she had an energy.
Look at her face in every photograph. Absolutely. There's a positive, wonderful glow. Also, she had this incredible ability, which he kind of inherited, and I told him that, and he said, thanks very much, to make people feel at ease and make them feel that everything's going to be all right. I haven't experienced many people in my life that have that ability, but she could walk into a room of people and make them feel as if everything was great.
Waves wash onto a sun-kissed beach. 1st of December 2016. People stand behind metal railings watching Prince Harry with a group of people.
It's World AIDS Day, and Prince Harry is in Barbados. He's encouraging people to take a blood test. It's the best way to stop the spread of AIDS.
All right, so I'll just take a little bit more from you.
You take it all?
No, I'm not going to take all.
Prince Harry has brought along a friend to help spread the word. She's one of the most famous women on the planet.
Welcome, Rihanna. Thanks for taking part.
Of course.
There was an opportunity there to get Rihanna, who has got, you know, over 60 million followers on Instagram alone, and to be able to get someone in her position who has lost quite a few friends to AIDS, I think it's fantastic.
You really made this. You made it feel like
I just think it's incredible what he's doing to bring awareness to HIV and AIDS, and I think the most important thing is to kind of dilute the stigma as much as possible. I think that's the thing that's crippling the most.
My mother was a role model. She was someone who, at an incredibly young age, would put her passion behind something that she genuinely believed in. And I think that's fantastic, you know, good for her. and thank God for her.
A photo of Diana shaking hands with the AIDS patient. Jane Fincher, royal photographer, looks at slides through an eyepiece.
I'd worked with Charles and Diana for many, many years, photographing them. You know, when you work with them all those years and you watch every little thing that goes on, you know, you become part of it all. You can't help but feel affection towards them. And, you know, you want them to be happy.
A newspaper headline, From Kiss to This.
The newspapers had been writing a lot of stories, negative stories about the marriage. And personally, I tried to ignore it because I didn't want to read them and I didn't want to believe it. So I poo-pooed it a bit. The penny didn't really drop for me until we went to Korea.
2nd November 1992.
She looked wretched, he looked wretched, and I thought finally, something's going on here. It's very evident when you look at the pictures that they look very distant from each other, even to the point where, you know, they're walking down a staircase, they're both walking down a separate set of stairs, and there's a wall in the middle, and it kind of sums up what was going on at that point. It wasn't a very happy tour.
A photo of Diana looking sombre and distant.
That was a bad time for Diana. You know, a bit of the light had gone out, if you like.
That was Harry Herbert.
One person who was deeply concerned was the princess's mother-in-law.
I had a talk to the Queen about it. Balmoral, the Queen wanted to talk to me about it because she was so worried. She's so you know, worried about Diana. After a lunch at Balmoral and going up high and looking down onto this beautiful setting of heather and castle and an incredibly, you know, important chat, very personal chat. And the Queen wanted to know, how was Diana feeling? And was it as bad as it was? And there's a sad moment, really, because that was everything at its worst.
People walk along a path in Kensington Gardens.
And I remember going to see Diana in Kensington Palace when both things weren't particularly easy, in her married life. She was, you know, very emotional. Suddenly, these two boys came thundering round the corner in their dressing gowns, just before bed, and just watching her face light up, going from sad chat to suddenly, boof, you know. I'll never forget that moment. And them, you know, crawling all over her and things flying everywhere. And through all the difficulty of other stuff at that time, you could see it's the most important thing in her life were her boys.
9th of December, 1992.
It is announced from Buckingham Palace that, with regret, the Prince and Princess of Wales have decided to separate. Their Royal Highnesses have no plan...
There was a point of where our parents split and the two of us were bouncing between the two of them and we probably didn't... We never saw our mother enough or we never saw our father enough.
Harry and William in the back of a car.
You know, there was a lot of travelling and a lot of fights on the back seat with my brother, of which I would win. So it was... You know, there was all that to contend with, and I don't pretend that we're the only people to have to deal with that. But it was an interesting way of growing up.
A photo of Diana driving with Harry and William in the back. Press take photos.
Privacy had been hard to come by as a member of the royal family. But following her separation, media obsession with the princess reached fever pitch.
Diana and the boys walk through a town in skiing gear.
I remember one particular trip. We were in Lech in Austria, and the deal was that the palace would arrange for us to have a photo call on the first day.
Snow is falling heavily as they take photos.
And the understanding was that then, okay, let them then ski off and have a lovely holiday. And this particular day, we'd had our photo call, so, you know, you shouldn't have been out with your camera anymore. And Diana came out with the boys, and they tried to go through the town to the sweet shop. And the photographers were just, like, running everywhere. It was like rats running everywhere. They all wanted to be in their face, right up to them, pushing and shoving. They were fighting with each other. Photographers were falling over. And the boys were frightened. And I was in the shop when she came into the shop, and it was like she was sort of, you know, exasperated by it. You know, what are they doing? You know, why are they doing this? You know, I've kept my part of the deal. We did our photo call. Why are they all doing this? You know, and she said, you know, I don't want the boys upset like this.
Diana, in sunglasses, walks up to a cameraman and puts her hand over the lens.
Excuse me. As a parent, could I ask you to respect my children's space? Because I brought the children out here for a holiday.
Right.
And we'd really appreciate the space. And I'm sure
would
as a...
Would it be possible to just get a picture of this afternoon? And I'll leave you alone.
No.
Quickly.
As a parent, I want to protect the children.
She walks away.
Back then, 20 years ago, people would be utterly appalled if they knew exactly what went on.
Head down, Diana tries to avoid photographers.
I think it was an industry that lost its way quite heavily, lost its sense of decency, lost its perspective on what was appropriate.
Diana tries to hide her face with a tennis racket in a bag as they walk through an airport plagued by photographers.
You are the Princess of Wales, and you're a mother. I don't believe being chased by 30 guys on motorbikes who block your path, who spit at you, who shout at you, and who react really badly to get a reaction from you and make a woman cry in public to get the photographs. I don't believe that is appropriate. I sadly remember most of the time that she ever cried about anything was to do with press intrusion.
Photographers try to get into a lift with Diana and are pushed out by assistants.
Harry and I, you know, we lived through that. And one lesson I've learned is you never let them in too far because it's very difficult to get them back out again. And you've got to maintain a barrier and a boundary because if you cross it, if both sides cross it, a lot of pain and problems can come from it.
Prince William nods solemnly. Clouds pass across a golden sky over the River Thames.
In August 1996, after 15 years of marriage, the Prince and Princess of Wales divorced. Diana was free to shape a new life for herself.
Diana, in a short lilac dress, gets out of a car at a red carpet event.
Once the divorce had come through, the few times I saw her, she seemed to be in a better place. I think she was happier.
Once she was no longer a member of the royal family, she, I think, just felt a sense of freedom. She was a very, very attractive woman. And she really loved looking good.
Anna Harvey, personal stylist.
She was free as a bird, and I think she looked rather amazing.
A pale dress decorated with brass studs and blue stones.
My mother loved her fashion, she loved her clothes, but she wasn't a slave to it. I remember walking around her cupboards and just, there was just so many dresses and so many clothes, and she got so fed up with all these clothes in her cupboards, believe it or not. And I said, well, why don't you give those clothes away? Why don't you do something charitable with it?
How much for this? 19,000 here. Against you in the gallery at 19,000 a bit here.
Diana auctioned off dozens of her dresses.
25,000.
Raising millions of dollars for AIDS and cancer charities.
130,000. 175. I knew she was going to say that. 200,000.
Someone flicks through the auction catalogue of dresses.
I remember her showing me the catalogue and everything else about it and saying, this was your idea. And I was like, well, I had a good idea. So it was nice to see it come to fruition.
The sale of her dresses marked a new chapter in the princess's life. From now on, she would force the press to focus on what she did and not on what she wore.
She put her name and put her image and put her passion and energy into something that she genuinely believed in. And she knew that by doing that, it was going to have a ripple effect across the whole world.
Diana in a minefield. Heavy dark grey clouds pass across the sky.
In August 1997, only 3 weeks before she died, Diana arrived in Bosnia.
Travelling through countryside.
The country had been torn apart by a brutal civil war. With a million landmines still lurking underground, it was one of the most dangerous places on Earth. Diana's guides in Bosnia were two committed landmine activists.
The willingness to take such a crazy risk on these two American, you know, legless cowboys. We have one leg between both of us who didn't have, you know, two shekels to rub together in Bosnia. I wouldn't have recommended that she go with us. But she chose it. I wasn't to tell anyone about the upcoming visit to Bosnia. Not even the embassy, not even your ambassadors, no one would know.
It was not an easy trip, it was rigorous. And it was in a depressing environment in the post-conflict area of Bosnia. And she was morning to night visiting survivors.
Most people want to get away from pain. They can't listen to pain. They can't be fully present in the presence of pain. And the Princess of Wales could be there.
While she was in Bosnia, Diana met some of the younger victims of the conflict, like 12-year-old Jarko, who'd lost his leg after stepping on a landmine.
That keep me on my toes. They're quite naughty.
Jarko Perek says, I thought she'd be a typical princess, wearing a big white dress with a magic wand. We had no help. We were all alone and struggling. He rubs his lip and looks emotional. Somehow, she assured me that whatever was needed, she would help. She was such a good person and so powerful that she could change the world. Diana walks with young Jarko and another boy.
Malich was 15 when he met Diana. He'd also lost his leg after stepping on a landmine.
Tall, thin, dark-haired Malich walks through countryside. There is a path which leads to the village. And as kids, we thought it was safe. I only strayed a couple of meters from the path. That's all it took. Today in Bosnia and Herzegovina, people who experienced the war are committing suicide every day. A hilltop cemetery filled with gravestones. But I was lucky. I had moral support from Princess Diana.
Mentalnu podršku s tim što sam dobio podršku od princeze Diane i to mi je bilo.
It was like a powerful wind at my back driving me on. Today, 20 years later, there are no more landmines. But tragically, Princess Diana is not here.
Nema više mina, ali nažalost nema ni princeze Diane.
This is her legacy, that there are no landmines here. Malich looks overcome and rubs tears from his eyes. A picture of smiling Diana sitting between Malich and Jarko as boys.
Diana's Bosnian visit was part of a wider campaign. Behind the scenes, she was pushing for a global landmine ban.
About a month ago, I found a whole series of letters. Letters that she was supposed to top and tail, that were dated 31st of August, that were sitting on her desk here. She knew exactly what needed to be done. She was writing letters to certain people to say, right, you know, this is what needs to happen in order for this whole sort of tidal wave to change. And it's only recently over the years that I've actually really understood the effect that she was having in those areas and on an international scale as well.
3 months after Diana's visit to Bosnia, an international treaty was signed, outlawing landmines. It was perhaps her greatest achievement.
She had the ability to literally change a mindset of millions upon millions of people.
A gold-coloured unicorn on the gate of Kensington Palace. Harry pops his head into a room.
Hi, guys. It's a leprechaun.
You look like naughty school children.
Ken Rutherford. Hi, nice Ken. To meet you.
Very, very nice to meet you.
Prince Harry has invited Ken, Jerry, Jarko and Malich to Kensington Palace to share their memories of Diana's Bosnian visit.
So you guys, I mean, this was it, 20 years ago.
This is a reunion.
You both still look the same. Ish. You maybe have a little less hair. You guys were almost the last people to see my mother. Well, you saw my mother more recently than I did, I guess. Was it quite strange for the two of you to have a princess like that come and show an interest in your lives and within Bosnia, the landmine issue?
She was
the only light at the end of the tunnel for us. I remember her sentence before she left. She said, you are not going to be forgotten. Mm. And that was important to him.
And that stuck in your head forever?
I to ti se zabilo u glavu za uvijek ta
rečenica.
Whenever I had hard times, I remembered that sentence.
On the 20th anniversary of Diana's visit to Bosnia, Prince Harry is finishing the work his mother began. He's launching a new campaign to destroy every remaining landmine.
The attention my mother brought to this issue wasn't about politics. It was about people. When my mother said goodbye to Zarko that August, just weeks before her untimely death, she told him he would not be forgotten. Please, help me keep her word to Zarko and Malik and other people like them throughout the world who still need us to finish the job. Thank you.
Bespectacled, shaven-headed Professor Jerry White looks round at Malik and Zarko and smiles, shaking Malik's hand. An aerial view of rolling green hills and meadows dotted with evergreens stretching out beneath a cloudy sky.
During August 1997, Prince William and Prince Harry were enjoying summer in the Scottish Highlands. While their mother was away, she constantly kept in touch.
The very last memory that I have is a phone call at Balmoral. At the time, Harry and I were running around, minding our own business, you know, playing with our cousins and having a very good time.
As a kid, I never enjoyed speaking to my parents on the phone. And we spent far too much time speaking on the phone rather than speaking to each other because of just the way the situation was. And the phone rang and off he went to go and speak to her sort of for 5 minutes.
And I think Harry and I were just in a desperate rush to say goodbye, you know, see you later, and we're going to go off. And if I'd known now, obviously, what was going to happen, I wouldn't have been so blasé about it and everything else. But that phone call sticks in my mind quite heavily.
Do you remember what she said?
I do.
And then, Harry, mummy's on the phone, right, my turn. Off I go, you know, pick up the phone and it was her speaking from Paris, and you know, I can't really necessarily remember what I said, but all I do remember is probably, you know, regretting for the rest of my life how short the phone call was. And if I'd known that was the last time I was going to speak to my mother, the things I would have said to her. Looking back on it now, it's incredibly hard. I have to sort of deal with that for the rest of my life. Not knowing that was the last time I was going to speak to my mum and how differently that conversation would have panned out if I had even the slightest inkling that her life was going to be taken that night.
Blurred flashing lights by night.
The princess was taken to intensive care following a car crash.
The Press Association announced with a news flash at 4:41 that Diana, Princess of Wales, has died, according to British sources.
People crying in the street while others comfort them. A toddler wears a Princess Diana t-shirt, a homemade sign, Diana, and a heart, love from Una. People bring flowers.
The strangest thing was the thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, that spontaneously gathered in central London I've never seen anything like it, and I don't expect to see anything like it.
Lord Victor Adebowale.
People wanted to actually physically be near her.
A postcard written to Diana.
And I think that was because her humanity spoke to their humanity, regardless of the difference in class, the difference in life experience, that they saw something of themselves in her.
A photo of William, Harry and Prince Charles looking at the floral tributes.
It was very, very strange after her death, you know, the sort of the outpouring of love and emotion from so many people that had never even met her. And there was William and I walking around Kensington Palace gardens here, and the sea of flowers all the way from the palace gates all the way back to Kensington High Street.
The palace garden is covered by a blanket of flowers.
And I was thinking to myself, how is it that so many people that never met this woman, my mother, can be crying and showing more emotion than I actually am feeling?
There's nothing like it in the world. It really isn't. It's completely and utterly, it's like an earthquake. It's just run through the house and through your life and everything. It's just, it's, your mind is completely split. And it took me a while to actually, for it to sink in.
A photograph of a sea of bouquets, balloons and cards. On a wreath on Diana's coffin, an envelope bears the handwritten word, Mummy. 6th of September 1997, the coffin passes Prince Philip, William, Earl Spencer, Harry and Prince Charles.
Prince William was 15 years old when his mother died. Prince Harry was only 12.
They walk after the coffin.
You know, losing someone so close to you is utterly devastating, especially at that age.
The coffin is carried on a gun carriage.
I think it sort of really spins you out. You don't quite know where you are, what you're doing and what's going on.
Dressed in black suits and ties, William and Harry hang their heads as they walk with their father, grandfather and uncle. Crowds pack the streets. Among them, people cry and wipe away their tears. The coffin is brought through a stone archway.
Family came together, and Harry and I tried to talk as best we could about it, but being so small at that age, it's very difficult to communicate or understand your feelings. It's very complicated.
The grand stately home, Althorpe House.
After the service in Westminster Abbey, Diana's body was taken to her family home at Althorpe. There, on an island in the middle of Roundoval Lake, she was laid to rest.
The small island stands in the middle of the calm green lake. On the island, among the greenery, is a stone monument with an urn shape on it and a Doric-style memorial building with a profile silhouette of Diana. Prince Harry.
The first time I cried was at the funeral on the island, and that was probably like, and only since then maybe once. So there's a lot of grief that still needs to be to be let out.
Wild grass and flowers poke up from the water of the lake. The memorial building stands by a lawn on the island. A bench stands beneath the silhouette of Diana. A photograph of William at the funeral, looking down somberly.
Slowly, you try and rebuild your life and you try and understand what's happened. And I kept saying to myself that, you know, my mother would not want me to be upset. She'd not want me to be down. She'd not want me to be like this. I kept myself busy as well, which is good and bad sometimes, but allows you to kind of get through that initial shock phase. And to the point where I'd say, you know, we're talking as much as maybe 5 to 7 years afterwards.
A photo of solemn Harry.
I was so young, I grew up sort of thinking that not having a mum was normal. I think it was a classic case of don't let yourself think about your mum and the grief and the hurt that comes with it, because it's never going to bring her back and it's only going to make you more sad.
A photo of an older Harry wearing an army jacket.
People deal with grief in different ways. And my way of dealing with it was by just basically shutting it out, locking it out.
In the army, holding a rifle.
The 10 years that I was in the army, I just sort of dug my head in the sand and it was just white noise. And I went through a whole period of having to try to sort myself out.
The memorial building on the island.
My heart goes out to all the people who've lost all their loved ones in the world. You know, it does connect you as a very sad club you don't want to be a member of, but you do have a shared sort of pain that you can immediately understand and see in anyone when you meet them.
The silhouette of Diana's profile on the wall of the memorial building.
Talking about the loss of parents or children is one of the last great taboos. But poignantly, in the years before she died, Diana became one of the first public figures to engage with these issues when one of her best friends launched a bereavement charity.
When Child Bereavement UK was founded, Diana, as an act of friendship, she did many things that really supported me personally.
Good afternoon.
I hadn't made many speeches, I was really nervous, and so she helped me with my speech.
The Child Bereavement Trust will address problems that affect many people's lives.
And she came to our launch, and of course it meant that we were in every newspaper on the news, and it gave us the best possible launch we could ever have had. She had a very natural gift of empathy. Just by looking at someone, she'd have an idea of what they were feeling. And actually, I see that with the Duke of Cambridge. He has a depth of understanding through his own experience that connects with other people.
Prince William has continued his mother's relationship with the charity, becoming patron of Child Bereavement UK.
I strongly believe everyone wants to help, they just don't know how to. Mm. And they usually end up being sort of stumbling a bit and then, you know, just staying quiet, yes. Which is sometimes the worst thing you can do.
Oh, yeah. I was pregnant with a second daughter and I went to a routine 38-week antenatal appointment and they found no heartbeat. Gosh, sorry.
I know,
already.
Emily's baby, Abby, was stillborn. John's daughter, Rosie, died when she was 19.
At the moment, we're talking about what do we do with Rosie's ashes. We've still got those.
It's also hard to totally let go as well, isn't it?
It's very hard to let go.
I always think that how you come out of a bereavement, how you come out of grief, yes. It's a real defining moment. Mm. Yes. It doesn't go away, it never goes away.
No.
But you learn to deal with it. That's
the day. You make it part of your life in a way that's... Yeah. Right and good and in the best way that you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
John and Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's really, really appreciated.
And it's so brave to be to be as open and as articulate as you are.
Keep the memories alive, that's the thing, isn't it?
Keep the memories alive.
Yeah. A rectangular pond in the garden of Kensington Palace. A sign reads, Remembering Diana, Princess of Wales.
On the 20th anniversary of Diana's death, a special garden has been created at Kensington Palace to celebrate her life and legacy. Graham Dillamore was a young gardener when he began working for Diana.
We're all very lucky to know her, work with her, and be here at that time. For me, personally, this is where I'll always remember her. We were looking at images Diana, and the whites and creams and those pastel shades seemed to sort of jump out at us a bit on the page, and we thought we could maybe develop a scheme that could capture that and would look really, really nice.
Graham talks with a colleague.
You can see we've got the foxgloves coming in to flower now, which are wonderful. And we're planting these gorgeous white lilies, and then we've got these super fantastic kind of creamy roses.
A photo of Diana and the boys in the garden.
Seeing the two boys, when they were little, in the private garden, throwing a rugby ball around or kicking a football into the roses, it was great to see. You know, it reminded me of my own garden at home with my kids. I'll always look back on those days with really great, happy memories.
Harry, William and Catherine, the Duchess of Cambridge, at an event.
When you see the boys, funny enough, for me,
that brings her back. It makes me smile. And you turn on the telly and see that Harry's been a bit wicked doing something. That's great, because that's Diana. And you see, you know, you see William's smile, or you see the way that they react to people. And that's their mother.
That was Harry Herbert, William Van Straubenzee.
People used to say to me, were you ever in love with Diana? And my answer is, of course I was in love with Diana. Everybody in the world was in love with Diana. I mean, every person of every age group, of any sex or denomination or anything that knew of her, was in love with her. She was just an extraordinary person.
Diana takes a bunch of flowers from a young boy who has lost his hair. Crowds watch Kate pushing a pram while William carries Prince George.
In the years since Diana died, two of her grandchildren have been born.
How do you keep her memory alive for your children?
I think constantly talking about Granny Diana. So we've got more photos up around the house now of her, and we talk about her a bit and stuff. And it's hard because obviously Catherine didn't know her, so she cannot really provide that level of detail. So I do regularly, putting George or Charlotte to bed, talk about her and just try and remind her that there are two grandmothers. There were two grandmothers in their lives, and so it's important that they know who she was and that she existed.
A photo of William's family.
She'd be a nightmare grandmother. She'd absolutely nightmare. She'd love the children to bits, but she'd be an absolute nightmare. She'd come and go, and she'd come in probably at bath time, cause an amazing amount of scene, bubbles everywhere, bath water all over the place, and then leave.
William sits Prince George on a small horse.
I want to make as much time and effort with Charlotte and George as I can, because I realise that these early years particularly are crucial for children, having seen, you know, what she did for us.
In an office in Kensington Palace, Harry and William are looking at more photos.
I found these ones here, which I thought was quite sweet. Believe it or not, you and I are both in this photograph.
Right.
You're in the tummy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, exactly. No, she wrote on it, said W and Harry. It's quite funny.
You potentially look excited that you've got a, at that point, a brother or sister coming
into
the world.
I think I was looking forward to beating you up the moment you arrived. I thought it was quite a funny photograph.
She looks happy there as well. Yeah.
Smiling Diana holding William.
Time spent with her, the feeling of having her around and being loved as a family or as a son, I think those are the most precious, special memories to me.
Harry.
It has been hard, and it will continue to be hard. It's not a day that William and I don't wish that she was, we don't wish that she was still around, and we wonder what kind of a mother she would be now and what kind of a public role she would have and what a difference she would be making.
I think she'd be proud that Harry and I have managed to come through everything that's happened, having lost her. And that gives me positivity and strength to know that I can face anything that the world can throw at me. We felt, you know, incredibly loved, Harry and I, and I'm very grateful that that love still feels there, even 20 years on. And I think that's a huge credit to her, that I can still feel that now.
A photo of Diana resting her chin on her hand and smiling to the camera. Audio description by Deluxe.
Thank you.